whether we're dealing with an underperforming employee, disagreeing with our spouse about money or child rearing, negotiating with a difficult client, or simply saying no, or I'm sorry, or I love you. We attempt to avoid difficult conversations every day. No matter how competent we are, we have all these conversations that cause anxiety and frustration.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Have you ever been caught up in a conversation and the outcome has left you dismayed and bewildered and thinking, how did we get to here? I've had the misfortune of being involved in conversations or at the end of what I thought was a one-ended shouting match and ended up thinking, how on earth did we get from doing a simple task to a shouting match? And now everyone's frustrated, everyone's upset, there was no resolution, and it completely derailed what was supposed to be happening at the time. Hi, it's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. And I'm starting a book club. That's right, book club with a difference. They're very popular, I hear. This one is more to do with self-help books. And the book I have been given today to have a read of is called Difficult Conversations: How to Discuss What Matters Most. It's updated with answers to the 10 most frequently asked questions about difficult conversations. The authors are Douglas Stone, Bruce Patton, and Sheila Heen of the Harvard Negotiation Project, with the foreword by Roger Fisher, co-author of Getting to Yes. It is a New York Times business bestseller. It's in its 10th anniversary edition, and it's put out by Penguin Books. When we retire, we can end up volunteering and working in positions where we don't get paid. So we're there for the love of it. But sometimes things happen, and we are usually not doing something on our own. We're in a group, a community group, a structured organization. We're either learning something or we're volunteering to help raise money. Whatever the situation, it could be getting along with family members. But there are times when things don't always go to plan. It can be anything from asking for a raise, ending a relationship, giving a critical performance review, saying no to someone in need, confronting disrespectful or hurtful behavior, disagreeing with a majority in a group, apologizing at work, at home, and across the backyard fence. Difficult conversations are attempted or avoided every day. According to the authors, a difficult conversation is anything you find it hard to talk about. So anything from sexuality, race, gender, politics, and religion come up quickly to mind as difficult topics to discuss. And for many of us, they are. But discomfort and awkwardness are not limited to topics on the editorial page. Anytime we feel vulnerable, or our self-esteem is implicated, when the issues at stake are important and the outcome uncertain, when we care deeply about what is being discussed or about the people with whom we are discussing it, there is potential for us to experience the conversation as difficult. How can this book help? This book offers plenty of advice on how to conduct a difficult conversation, but first and most important, it will help you understand better what you're up against and why it makes sense to shift from a message delivering stance to a learning stance. Only then will you be able to understand and implement the steps of a learning conversation. Difficult conversations are a normal part of life. No matter how good you get, difficult conversations will always challenge you. And the authors know this from their own experiences. They know what it feels like to be deeply afraid of hurting someone or getting hurt. That even with the best of intentions, human relationships can corrode or become tangled. And if we are honest, we also know that we don't always have the best of intentions. We know just how fragile are the heart and the soul. The problem often arises when we don't think about what we say before we say it. Have you ever been yelled at for something that you were innocently doing and then got very defensive and not understanding why you're being yelled at? This has happened to me. And instead of focusing on what the message is they're trying to convey, the way it is chosen to be conveyed can often send you in a completely different tangent and end up with people becoming frustrated and angry with the messenger and the receiver, and it gets blown up out of proportion. The authors suggest that each difficult conversation is really three conversations. The what happened conversation. Most difficult conversations involve disagreement about what has happened or what should happen. Who said what and who did what? Who's right, who's meant what, and who's to blame? Next is the feelings conversation. Every difficult conversation also asks and answers questions about feelings. Are my feelings valid, appropriate? Should I acknowledge or deny them? Put them on the table or check them at the door? What do I do about the other person's feelings? What if they are angry or hurt? And thirdly, the identity conversation. This is the conversation we each have with ourselves about what this situation means to us. We conduct an internal debate over whether this means we are competent or incompetent, a good person or bad, worthy of love or unlovable. What impact might it have on our self-image and self-esteem, our future and our well-being? Our answers to these questions determine in large part whether we feel balanced during the conversation or whether we feel off-center and anxious. I know I've been left feeling anxious after a difficult conversation, at the very least perplexed, thinking, where did that come from? I was simply writing on the board and someone didn't like how I was assigning roles at a Toastmasters meeting. Next time you want to yell at someone, take a deep breath or two or three and think, is there another way I can get my message across? Because when you start yelling, you're invoking feelings and you might end up with a completely different outcome to what you thought you were going to have. We have different information. There are two reasons we all have different information about the world. First, each of us proceeds through life and through any difficult situation. The information available to us is overwhelming. We simply can't take in all the sights, sounds, facts, and feelings involved in even a single encounter. Inevitably, we end up noticing some things and ignoring others. And what we each choose to notice and ignore will be different. Second, we each have access to different information. So, for example, if two people, my mother and I, went to the theatre to see a show, we recently went to see Cats. Now, what I remember about the show and what my mother remembers about the show are completely different. We had different perspectives, and we would never notice the same things. And I'm sure that is the same with everyone. We also have different interpretations of the same events, and we are influenced by past experiences. The past gives meaning to the present. Often it is only in the context of someone's past experience that we can understand why and what they are saying or doing makes any kind of sense. Say, for example, you're taken out to a fancy restaurant. You've never been there before. It may be something you're unaccustomed to, and you may be used to checking the prices on the menu before you make your final decisions. So what happens if you go to a restaurant that has no prices on the menu? It can be daunting. Even if you can afford anything, it's what you've used to, what you've been brought up with. Because we have had different experiences, our past experiences often develop into rules by which we live our lives, whether we are aware of them or not, and we all follow such rules. They tell us how the world works, how people should act, or how things are supposed to be, and they have a significant influence on the story we tell about what is happening between us in a difficult conversation, and we will get into trouble when our rules collide. Thirdly, the authors suggest our conclusions reflect our self-interest. When we think about why we each tell our own stories about the world, there is no getting around the fact that our conclusions are partisan, that they often reflect our self-interest. We look for information to support our view and give that information the most favourable interpretation. Then we feel even more certain that our view is right. Has this ever happened to you? But how do we move forward? Well, the authors are suggesting we need to move from certainty to curiosity. We need to change the way that we are looking at the problem. So instead of asking, how can they think that? You need to ask yourself, I wonder what information they have that I don't. So instead of asking, how can they be so irrational, ask, how might they see the world such that their view makes sense? Certainty locks us out of their story, and curiosity lets us in. I must admit, I have great difficulty communicating with someone that has been yelling at me. For whatever reason they have chosen to yell, I respond naturally by getting very defensive. And I can now see that I need to change my perspective and have another look at why they're yelling. I think it's poor form that they yell their message, and they could have got the message across in a different way. But perhaps by yelling, they're bringing my immediate attention to something they perceive as very important or urgent in their mind's eye. We attempt or avoid difficult conversations every day. No matter how competent we are, we all have conversations that cause anxiety and frustration. This book can help. Based on 15 years of research, Difficult Conversations walk you through a step-by-step approach for how to have your toughest conversations with less stress and more success. So if you want to learn how to decipher the underlying structure of every difficult conversation, interpret the significance of what is said and what is not, raise through issues without triggering defensiveness, manage stress emotions, yours and theirs, and stay balanced regardless of how the other person responds. The book is filled with examples from everyday life. Difficult Conversations is a book you will turn to again and again for powerful, practical advice. And this is a good place to end. It's a very helpful book, and I'm sure you'll get a lot of benefit of having this one on your bookshelf. This has been Annie Nelson from Retire Well, Retire Happy.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.